Maybe we can do some chanting. The do the Guru Shakyamuni Buddha mantra. And here just on page number 2, the Om Muni Muni Maha Muni Swaha, just adding Tadyatha to it. Tadyatha. Do you know this tune?
Yeah.
So one can visualize and feel the presence of Buddha Shakyamuni at this place, or in the space in front, or in the shrine. And as we see in the picture, if we can just visualize, maybe as really sitting there, and we can chant the mantra, and one can invoke maybe qualities of the Buddha, qualities of the enlightened ones, qualities of compassion, qualities of wisdom, and qualities of the ability to benefit sentient beings. Then one can visualize rays of light issuing from the three places of the Buddha, from the forehead, and then from the throat, and from the heart. And those rays of light absorbing into one's three places, and in that way receiving blessings from the Buddha, and purifying one's physical, verbal, and mental karma, and feel one is blessed with the positive physical, verbal, and mental karma. Okay? Tadyatha Omone Mone Maha Mone Soha. Tadyatha
Amen.
Feeling a sense of warmth and kindness, can send rays of light this time to other sentient beings. And rays of light issuing out, going out in the 10 directions, wherever there is sentient beings. And particularly those beings who are currently going through difficulties, or suffering, beings who are sick, who have no one to look after them, no protection, those who are mentally ill, those who are lost, who are in grief, unhappy, who are so unhappy, to all of them, send rays of light with prayers as we chant the mantra and visualize these rays of light touching each and every one. If you have any friends, any family members who are sick, who are in circumstances, difficult circumstances, send your prayers, your love in the form of rays of light. Touch them. Send it to your spiritual friends with whom you have received teachings. You have discussion about Dharma. You attend the teachings, practice together, send rays of light, of love and compassion to all of them. Sending rays of light to one's gurus, thanking them for the kindness that they have shown to you, for the teachings that they have given you. Tadyatha Omone Mone Mahamone Soha Tadyatha
Mahamune
For the sake of all sentient beings, I must attain the perfect state of enlightenment, and that is for the sake of all sentient beings, each and every sentient beings, and for the sake of suffering sentient beings, I must attain the perfect state of enlightenment. And for that purpose, I must listen to the teaching of the greater vehicle, the teaching of the Buddha, the Dharma, the actual refuge, and I must listen to it with the right intention. So with the receiving of teaching and practicing it, may I be able to benefit many sentient beings. My Dharma brothers and sisters, my friends, my gurus, and also many, many sentient beings. It's a wonderful opportunity that I have this time to sit down and listen to the most popular, one of the most popular texts of Mahayana, the text that was written by Acharya Shantidev, the Bodhisattva, the teachings that is brought all the way from Tibet, from India, by great masters to the land of Tibet, transforming the whole land of Tibet into Buddhism, the teaching that is maintained, practiced and carried out by beings who dedicate themselves full time to maintain it, just to bring benefit and happiness to sentient beings. I must not forget the object of the teaching is to bring benefit to sentient beings. For that purpose, I must listen to this teaching. This very sitting here, if I am to sit with proper motivation, it's a very positive karma of physical kind. So in that way, also will be able to obtain positive karmas, benefits and teaching. So in order to receive the teaching, I must receive this teaching with no intention of any samsaric attainments, but to attain the positive qualities, the dharma, the actual object of refuge. So Mahayana teaching, the essence of Mahayana teaching is great compassion. And in order to have the great compassion, I must develop a state of mental kind whereby I am able to see that each and every sentient beings are equal and similar in their pursuit of happiness. They are all same in their pursuit of not wanting suffering and its causes. So if each and every sentient beings are in a similar intention, similar attempt, then why do I focus so much on myself only? Every sentient beings are equal and similar. So therefore, all sentient beings are object of compassion. So therefore, I must cultivate a kind of mental state of equanimity, whereby then the chances of having a great compassion to all sentient beings is possible. As long as if I have the intention for my own happiness only, then listening to the teaching of Mahayana kind becomes very limited in its intended objective. So therefore, I must think of all sentient beings, in particular my friends, my family members, people who I know, people who do not know, and other sentient beings. Keeping in all of them in my mind, I should listen to this wonderful text, wonderful teaching of Mahayana. And this text, Bodhicharya Avatara, is engaging in the conducts, engaging in the wonderful practices, engaging in the way of life of the Bodhisattvas. Bodhisattvas are beings who, for the sake of all sentient beings, want to attain the perfect state of enlightenment. Not just to attain enlightenment, but the objective is to benefit other sentient beings. So I must also try to make an attempt to be in a kind of mental state. So the first chapter of Bodhicharya Avatara is reflecting on the benefits and the qualities of bodhicitta. The benefit and qualities of bodhicitta is such that if one is to generate bodhicitta in one's mind, even a very ordinary, very lost samsari being becomes worthy of veneration, worthy of respect. They will be called the successor of Buddhas, and they become worthy of veneration by God as well as humans. Bodhicitta is like that elixir that helps transform so many metal-like virtuous quality into gold. So, by embracing this bodhicitta, by this ordinary body also will be transformed to the wonderful bodies of the Buddhas with major and minor marks and so on. So the second chapter of Bodhicharya Avatara is to do the practices that make my mind become very conducive, make my mind a very proper sort of vessel to cup the bodhicitta, the nectar of bodhicitta. And the practice involves engaging in the practices of seven limb prayers. Seven limb prayers, paying homage, making offerings, and confessing the negativities. So in that way, one brings one's mind to the practice of rejoicing in all the wonderful things, all the positive things, wonderful great deeds, and the wonderful outcomes of ordinary people, of the Shravakas, Pratyeka Buddhas, of the Bodhisattvas, of any person belonging to any race, or any school, or any religion, whatever wonderful qualities that bring happiness and joyfulness to them. Either a temporary happiness is also a relief from a suffering that is long running, or a liberation from cyclical existence, liberation from karma and affliction, or then attaining the perfect state of enlightenment to benefit others. In all those wonderful positivities, I rejoice. And then I request to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, to the Gurus, in all the 10 directions, wherever they are, I request them to turn the wheel of Dharma, for the sentient beings are still in the darkness of suffering, in the darkness of their delusions. Some have lots of delusions of anger, and some have lots of delusions of greed, and so on. Even though they intend to abandon the suffering, yet they end up creating the very causes of unhappiness and suffering for themselves and others. Even though they have strong intention, strong wish to happiness, yet being an ignorant person, they end up destroying the very happiness that they have as their own enemy. So therefore, now I must listen to the part where it is the requesting to live long for the teachers, for the Buddhas who are considering to pass away. So we hear at the six verse. It goes, with folded hands I beseech the conquerors who wish to pass away to please remain for countless eons and not to leave the world in darkness. So with folded hands, with folded hands is usually in Indian tradition as well as in Tibetan. It's a form of paying homage as well as requesting. So with folded hands, I beseech. Tibetan, Chonam kungi sangela tamo jade sovani. Sanjan dunga mendum na chugi tamen batu. Yawanyangin dashela tamo jade sovani. Now in the text of Bodhicharya Avatara, the root text, where it is the verse, it says, Galwa Nyangen Dashela. Galwa is the one who is the victorious ones. Nyangen Dawa is who is born. Nyangen Dawa is a state of sorrowless. So Galwa is a Buddha who are considering to go into the state of nirvana. And I supplicate, I request and say, please, with folded hands. Says, please not leave these wandering beings. No, wandering beings who do not have the eyes of wisdom. So instead of your passing away, just be here with us, the wandering sentient beings who do not have the eyes of wisdom. And please be with us, and also please be with us for a long, long time. Number-wise, the eons is considered to be a very, very long time. So countless eons is for a long, long time. So when we make a supplication, it is good to be able to ask as much as we can, especially when we are asking on behalf of all sentient beings. So in here, maybe there are some Buddhas who are considering to pass away. Maybe not, but if there are, they are addressing them as the victorious ones because they have attained a certain degree of triumph over the delusions, over their karma, attain enlightenment. So addressing them properly, like the victorious ones. Nyangen Dashela, those who are considering to be in, to pass away or to be in a state of sorrowless. Usually it is a state where through wisdom one is able to be in a state of peacefulness. But where probably the compassion, because the compassion, if the compassion is there, then the compassion helps to keep someone here or in samsaric situation because of their compassion. And usually those who maybe it is looked at as compassion is the one that help to become skillful and constantly help sentient beings. And the wisdom aspect is something that brings like a state of peace and nirvana. So here we, if we have a Buddha who is considering to go into nirvana, we repeatedly requesting the Buddha to not pass away. And some people, when they do this kind of practice, they actually cry and they verbally say, you know, please, please, and so on. You know? They go like this and then they say, please remain here to be with sentient beings and be the eyes for them and help them because they are lost. They are lost. They want some happiness. They are after some happiness that is very temporary. And even if they get it, that very happiness, they work very hard for it. And they get that happiness, but that happiness is so changing nature, a very conditioned. Compared to the suffering of suffering, that is certainly is a happiness. But that very happiness is what is called a conditioned happiness, a temporary happiness. That is actually a suffering, but think of it as happiness. So, you know, thinking maybe if I have an island, I would be happy. So then, have an island, and you go there, go to the island, you sit there, got all this nice island and everything. Still, no, there's something missing, and that's how it is. Sort of, conditioned, how it is conditioned. Everywhere you go, like recently I was in Byron Bay. It's very beautiful resort, like 5-star. The room was amazing. I've never been in such slept in such a room. It's beautiful swimming pool. Flowers and everything, and we were having a retreat. I had to do some teaching and meditation. And there were all these rich people from, you know, Western Australia, and people who have big business, who own hair salon, no, who own winery, no. There's something, no. Very nice people, though. Very nice. People are very nice. Huh? But still, you know, as in samsara maybe, it's not, obviously, you know, Buddha left all these things, you know, to gain wisdom, no? And so he can share it with others. So we were doing retreat, we sit down, you know, we're so used to comfort. Yeah. Meditation, not like this. Some try, some have been sort of exposed to Buddhism and try, you know? But some just sit down for a minute and then they have to stretch, you know? And very conditioned, you know? It was very nice sort of retreat, but at the end it was very nice. We have some Christian people who go to church every Sunday, beautiful people, very nice people, you know? They're just human beings like us, you know? Call them Christian, they think they are Christian. Huh? They think we are Buddhist, you know. But, and then we went there, they wanted to take us to the lighthouse. It was a beautiful day, and we went up, and everyone trying to look for the whales. No? Lighthouse itself is not enough. No? Nice weather is not enough. There's always something missing, you know. So we want to have a look at the whale, and we don't see the whale. Yesterday there has been about 90 whales, according to whale researcher. So we're looking, we see some dolphin, you know, there you go. But it's not much. And we got up at the lighthouse, it was very nice, and then it started raining, a bit of rain, you know. And then it's so conditioned, you know.
Did you have an ice cream?
No, no.
Sorry. That would have been it. That would have been sort of ultimate happiness.
What would be your
the ice cream. Sorry?
Heaven or stick.
That's exactly right. It is temporary.
So, anyway, so then it started to rain, no? And people forgot about it. They want to run down, they were scared of rain. No? It's just rain, no?
That's true.
Just rain, enjoy it. Just let yourself soak, you know? That's for nice, that's for a change, you know? Just, you want to get to the bus? And it's a bit of a way to go down, you know. No one is trying to look whether there is a whale, you know. Just want to go down, you know. So it's very sort of very conditioned, you know. One can't laugh at, one can laugh and ridicule, but that's how it is, you know. So therefore, you know, it maybe we are looking for the wrong thing, you know. So whatever, you know. So here, and here, the teaching here is supplicating the Buddhas to remain. We already have the very, you know, requesting the Buddhas to turn the wheel of Dharma. Here, maybe Buddhas who are thinking of, you know, that's okay, let's go, you know. I've tried my best. We're considering maybe passing into Nirvana, so requesting them not to pass away and to remain for countless eons and not to leave the world in darkness. Because one Buddha makes a lot different. You know? Mm-hmm. One Shakyamuni Buddha bring lots of light. Yeah? So therefore, you know, if there are a few of them, you know, requesting them, and not to pass away, and to not to leave the world in darkness. So in that way, thus by the virtue collected. Now thus is referring to all the practices, from reflecting on the benefits and the qualities of bodhicitta, from the seven limb practices, and also there is going for refuge in there. Thus by the virtue collected, in that way, whatever the virtue collected, through all that I have done, may the pain of every living creature be completely cleared away. Thetar dida kun chete, thetar dida kun chete, geva da gisa pa, thene simjan thamjegi, runga thamje salvar sho. So in that way, having done all of these, referring to the whatever the wonderful thing that one has done, yeah, the seven limb practices in this case, and going for refuge and so on. Yeah. Geva is a virtue. And virtue is because it is a cause of happiness. Dagi sakpa khang, whatever it is that I have accumulated, a virtue. Teni, by that virtue. Teni, simjen tamjegi, by that virtue. Teni simjen tamjegi, dunga tamje savarshu. By that virtue, all the sufferings of sentient beings, and that is also all sentient beings, and all the suffering of suffering, suffering of change, suffering of all pervasiveness or suffering. So all of them be eliminated. So I is there in this line, you know? The one that I die. So I is nice, you know, when it is for dedicating, something yours but you want to dedicate. So in here, a virtue that I have accumulated by doing this, So in this point, one can, all the virtues that one have accumulated from beginningless time, even if one have dedicated, again at this point, dedicating. Yeah? So if one is to dedicate like that, all the virtue that I have accumulated in that way, you know, short meditation, 5 minutes sitting, and so on, all the virtue that I have collected, I dedicate all of them for all sentient beings. It's a nice thinking, nice way of living. Even the Buddhas will say, oh, well done. So dedicating. And the gurus, your teacher will be very happy. The teacher will say, oh, you know, it's very good. I told them they're doing very well. No? So you inspire your teacher also. No? So dedicating. Dedicating not for, you know, oh, may I become, you know, something, no? It's no I. It's just for purely for sentient beings. So that's how one becomes a bodhisattva. One becomes a bodhisattva in that way. And it's so simple. No? One does not have to drive. No? One can just sit, you know, one can lie down. One can lie on one's back, or one can lie on one's tummy. So, tadar didakun shete, in that way, it's very easy. You know, spiritual path is quite easy. No? No, it's very easy. No? So this like, I just sit there, all the virtue that I have accumulated, that I have collected. It's very easy. Whatever the virtue that I have collected, even if it is just a cup of tea, maybe the virtue is not enough. No, even that, no, all of them, I'm not going to get attached to what I have accumulated. No? I'm going to let go of it and send it out for all sentient beings. So, it's a wonderful practice. And if one is to do this practice really, genuinely, no? It's a very powerful practice. Brings lots of happiness to other sentient beings, to oneself. When one is thinking like that, no? One is totally away from stress. No? Just a very happy mental state. And the mental state of the bodhisattvas. No? This is like the mental state of the Buddhas. No? So one can access it, one can really taste. No? So that kind of dedication, by doing this kind of thing, even if I was tired, you know, however I did it, but the merit that I have accumulated, and each and every one of them from beginningless time, so I have accumulated merit in that way, but I'm not going to keep it for myself, I'm going to just dedicate, even if it is a merit. It's not worth, you know, clinging and grasping, it will just destroy it. No? I just let it go and send it to all sentient beings. Then simjen tamjegi, each and every sentient beings, dungal, their suffering, and not just one suffering of headache, but all sufferings. Salvar shok is we pray, that it happen. May all of them be eliminated. So this is very powerful, powerful way of thinking, very powerful practice. Well, that is like a general dedication. So in this, when we say all sentient beings, we are talking about all sentient beings with suffering, we are not specifically mentioning. And also suffering is a very general term in here. The suffering of change, it can be any kind of suffering. May all of them be eliminated. So if one just do like this, you know, even for like 2 minutes, it's very nice to do. So we should do, because we think we are, you know, disciples of great masters. We think we are the upholder of the banner of Mahayana teaching. We have connection with Mahayana teaching. We have karmic connection with Mahayana teaching. We have met, great masters from Mahayana school. We get touched by them. So then we should use the benefit, take advantage. We should use it. should use it. You know, this is the time to do it. You know, we might not get it tomorrow. So we can do it just right now, at this very point. I can think of all the virtues that I have collected doing practices, whatever I did, all of them, for each and every sentient beings, wherever they are, whoever they are, whether it is Christian, Muslim, or terrorist, my enemy, my foe, my friend, whoever it is, for all of them, I dedicate it, so that they are suffering. Maybe suffering coming from confusion, suffering coming from grief, suffering from pain, suffering from sickness, suffering from all kind, suffering from breaking up, or suffering of all kind, may all of them be eliminated. So one thing like this one is very powerful. So one imprint a Mahayana stamp on one's mental continuum that way. So we do a short meditation in here. So that is the dedication part, that is a dedication that is called a general dedication. A general dedication is, it's not specific. Now the next verse is for dedication for the sick people. The verse number 8, may I be the doctor and the medicine, and may I be the nurse for all sick beings in the world until everyone is healed. So drova neba chesit nesu kyurgi parduni menta memba nidhata te neyo chebarsha. Now here, looking into the situation of those who are nepa, or the sick beings, sick wandering beings, going through the suffering of sickness, sickness of mental kind, sickness of physical kind, lots of pain, crying, suffering so much because of accident, whatever it is. So the six sentient beings, Dova Nepa, Dova is a goer or wanderer, and the sick who are sick. And Chisithu Nesu, until the time when their sickness is healed, until that time. So here, sickness can be of any kind. Maybe we can just look at people who have like a very strong sickness. Or people who have physically very well, but you know, who have mentally disturbances, mentally unhappy. People who are mentally perfect, mentally very good, but then they have physically sickness. So one invoke, one bring in one's mind in a situation where beings, lots of sick beings. One can look in a hospital, just in one bedroom, there would be maybe 5 or 10 people. They're all there and they have the suffering of sickness. So until sick sentient beings, until they are healed from their sicknesses, which is a long time, they become a bit better and then they go back again. So the sickness is a long time, until their sickness or disease is cured. May I become a physician, a skilled physician, a doctor, who is very good doctor. So if everyone become a doctor, then there would not be a shortage. We have more suffering sentient sick beings, queuing up in our local GP, but there's only 3 or 4 doctors, working very hard or trying to look after all of them. In a hospital situation, there is often a shortage of staff, like nurses, few nurses working there, they're trying to do their best, and everyone is showing the mood on them, not fast enough, not doing quickly, the doctor is sort of being bossy, the nurses have to put up a lot. So then may I become a nurse. And then in some situation you would have doctor and nurse, but then there is no medicine. So then all these 3 components are necessary, the doctor, the nurse and medicine. So wherever there is a need of a doctor, may I become a doctor and help. Wherever there is need of nurses, may I become nurses and help. Until all sentient beings are liberated from the suffering of sickness. Wherever there is a shortage of medicine, may I become a medicine. But a medicine that is of healing kind. Maybe a medicine that does not have any side effect. May I become a medicine like that. May I become a medicine, maybe just one medicine that they eat and then all of their disease is cured. So thinking is really up to the bodhisattvas, how they think. May I be a medicine just by looking at me, The disease is cured, So all this way, some of the doctors are like that, You see the doctor, you already feel very, very comfortable, Half of your disease is sort of gone, So that kind of powerful. And these are prayers. Bodhisattvas make these prayers. And the doctors who become like this, it's very good, what they have been able to do, because the bodhisattvas want to become no doctor. So they already become what Bodhisattva wanted to become. Sometimes Bodhisattvas don't want to become Buddha, you know. They want to become, you know, a nurse, a medicine. Yeah? So therefore, menthang. Men is medicine. Mempa is the one who, you know, is good at medicine, giving you medicine, doctor. Yeah? And also, te neyo che parshu. May I also be their nurse. Yeah? So nurse here, you know, really bandaging, you know, giving them hope, you know, serving them food or whatever is required, you know. This is really a situation, a sickness. When we become sick, you know, we know how we feel, you know, when we are in hospital. So there are so many sentient beings, and there are so many, of course, who do not have a good fortune to go to hospital. No? They are just lying around with no family member to look after them. No? With no money left in them. No? And maybe a life that is full of sadness. No? And grief. No? And on top of that, they have the sickness to put up. No? They do not have food. They do not have drink. No? So worst kind of circumstances. Human beings are. So thinking all of them in that way, then one, you know, make this prayer, may I become, you know, a timely doctor, a doctor that arrives on time when exactly needed. May I become a perfect medicine, you know? May I become a perfect nurse, you know, that does not get tired, you know, that has the ability to keep on going. You know? So that's that kind of prayer. No? So one imagine in that way and then pray, may I become like that. This is how the Bodhisattvas, I think this is how the Bodhisattvas practice. No? And Acharya Shantideva, great Master Shantideva, just done a great job by putting all together the different kind of prayers are made by Bodhisattvas. Just put together all of them, put in the third chapter. No? So the future generation can have a read and have a good time. Or, you know, contemplate on it, or, you know, seriously meditate. You know? These are the great beings we talk about. He looked like someone was sleeping all the time. You know? Sleeping and eating, that was his nickname. You know, someone who sleeps is called Busuk. Busuk is, in Hindi or Sanskrit, means someone who eats and who sleeps. That's how he was known. You know? Hmm?
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then they put him up one day, they made a joke of him. They wanted to have a go at him. It was sort of a big ceremony of a spiritual kind. They put up a throne for him and they got him to, you know. He got up there and he asked them, you know, he asked them, what kind of teaching do you want, you know? He says, you know, step in that. He's put up there. People think, ah, you know. He asked this question. He asks, do you want me to give a talk? Do you want to give me a talk? No? Or do you want me to give a talk on the reality? So everyone, you know, not, no? Like, do you want me to give a talk or do you want me to give, like, ultimate, you know, truth talk? No? And everyone got, sab log chakit hue. Everyone went like, oh. No? And they said, oh, we want to hear. They said, we have heard many teachings of the Buddha, no? But we want to hear the ultimate teaching of the Buddha. No? So then he started teaching this Bodhichaya Avatara. And then in the ninth chapter, there is a point, yeah? when he got to that point, yeah? When he was teaching, and Manjushri appeared in the space, no? And Manjushri had helicopter. Manjushri had aeroplane. come on, your time is up, you know. Manjushri came, you know. And Shantideva went, you know. Shantideva went to Swarg or, you know, God Ram or somewhere. Manjushri took him away, you know. So then in Nalanda, that is the university in Nalanda, all the pandit and also the students got really, oh, what happened, you know. They went to his place, oh, there must be many teaching, you know. And he had a little cave. They went in there, they found Bodhicharya Avatara text. And then there's another text called Shiksha Samuchaya. That's again a Bodhisattva's teaching, you know, but in a shorter version. And then there was a third text. But these days, Bodhicharya Avatara and the other one, Shiksha Samuchaya, they are available. But the third text, no, it's not available. No one knows where it's gone. It's disappeared or something. So Shantideva is sleeping like, and it's a particular yoga of sleeping. His meditation, you know. It's a particular meditation. It says he is in a samadhi, or, you know, in a samadhi that is called eating, and sleeping and eating kind of samadhi. So then Shantideva put all this together, and this text touched everyone. When His Holiness Dalai Lama quotes one line from here, his happiness, you know? Mm-hmm. He's like happiness all the time, but when he quotes something, you know? No? When he wants to say something that really make a point, he goes to this text and he bring about, you know, one or two lines. You know? So this is such a precious sort of text and teaching. But it is more precious, you know, when we meditate on it. You know? When we meditate on it, then we are doing the same as what the Bodhisattvas do. You know? What the Bodhisattvas thinking, we are also thinking in the same way. And we can even be more skillful than Bodhisattvas. You know? We can think even further. You know? So therefore, a teaching, hearing, is very important, and contemplation in between is more important, and then meditating is even more. Often what happens is we hear and we develop our wisdom of hearing, and then we jump to the meditation, and we end up not walking on the bridge of contemplation. The bridge of contemplation in between is very important. So we hear a teaching, and hear is really hearing at a different level, you know, at a very deeper level. You know? And then we contemplate really whether it is or not. And it's worth contemplating, because to find a genuine, you know, gold, you know, people go through a thing, you know, burn it or cut it or whatever, you know, to find it. You know? Contemplating it's very important. And contemplating, one of the good things about contemplation is you don't have to sit like this. You know? You can just lie. You can just lie, you know. Maybe you set up an alarm like 5 o'clock. You know? Just be in bed and just contemplate. You know? Because contemplation is very important. You know? And some people, really very dedicated meditator, but they do not have good karma of hearing lots of teaching. They just go and meditate. And that's like trying to, they say that's like trying to climb a rock or a mountain with no hands. You know? They're really interested and want to meditate, but they don't get to hear lots of teachings and explanations. You know? So one hear teaching, one can. It sort of agrees with me. You know? And when one contemplate on it, then it becomes really, because it is a mental exercise, when one is contemplating the meaning, sort of agrees with one's inner being. And then one gets very sure about having it, you know, getting used to the whatever the teaching is, getting used to it. So that is called meditating. Otherwise, these days people call meditation, you know, just sit down and relax. Really, meditation is very, very, very deeper. And then he includes people who are, you know, who are hungry and thirsty in here also, you know, as one of the suffering we have. No? May a rain of food and drink descend to clear away the pain of thirst and hunger. And during the eon of famine, may I myself change into Meccas. Food and drink, no? family trio or something. You can get New South Wales family trio. No? May I transform into family trio? No? Okay, it's a new one. No?
Maybe the organic food market.
Yeah, the organic food market.
Yeah.
Sedan kom ge charbapte. Sedan kom ge charbapte. Tedan kom ge ne basa. Muge kalba parmet se. Dan sedan kom ducha. So sedan kom ge charbapte. Se is food and kom is water. Yeah? And a rain. So rain of food and drink. Yeah? And we saw in when we had a big earthquake in America. No? And the earthquake had a very devastating effect on that part of America. And because I think it's populated by maybe black people or whatever, the rescue did not come on time, there were no food, no? And so on going on. No? So therefore, in such situation, no? When there is hunger and thirst, and you know, when even for a small piece of bread, people fight with each other, even kill each other. No? So in such situation, no? The Bodhisattva here is wishing that, you know, that they cause the rain of, you know, food, shower of food, and also water. No? Lots of thirst and so on. No? There's malnutrition happening and so on. And really very true in my monastery. When I went to my monastery, our monastery is very poor. I went to the monastery, it's very run down, very poor monastery. Not good food. Half of the monks were suffering from tuberculosis. You know? Half of the monks, senior monks, the abbots, you know, have tuberculosis. You know? And little monks with diarrhea and so on. You know? What we had was American, you know, how they send you wheat or something in a big sack. You know, UN. We had those things, you know. We had it, in the morning, you know. We had it in the morning, make like a porridge, you know. Porridge with some salt in it, you know. Have it in the morning. And we had some of it in the afternoon, you know. We had that in the evening, you know. With the steamed dumpling that is like black and hard, you know. Like this, if you hit someone, they knock you, you know. That kind of hard. No self-raising flour, no. The flour that you use was maybe organic, maybe, no? But it's very like, you know, just look at it, you feel sad, you know? That kind of food, you know? Well, very poor, very poor.
Where was that chemistry?
In Dehradun, Sakya Center. When I went to, not many months, altogether maybe 45. Just after, you know, Tibet got invaded, and they came to India, and lots of people suffer from TB, no? So then some days when we have momos, no? Momo is like a Tibetan, you know? Like maybe it's better than bangers and mash. Momo is much better than it, no? Momo is wonderful, and they only have it like, you know, New Year time, no? Even then, you know, you get only 5 pieces. So, you know, that's a real, in a way of, you know, like UN, you know, wherever something, poverty stricken area, UN go, you know, aeroplane, they drop food, you know, they drop water, and so on. It's really like, you know, causing shower of food and drink, you know, and many people don't get, they die, no food, no drink, no, and we are in such, of course, you know, we have foods full of houses, just look at Woolies. How much food is in there? Really. And every suburb like this would have a big Woolies and a Coles and then also some Chinese vegetable shop, no?
Yeah.
Just look at the number of people. But then, you know, we have our own problem of over-consuming, no? So, so in a such a situation where there is grave situation of hunger and thirst, no? To such places, no? May I cause the shower of food, no? And drink, no? Wonderful food, organic food, no? 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 So just looking at it, looking at the food, almost attain enlightenment. One could go, enlightenment can wait. No, I want to go the food. Because
you need to eat from food to
become
enlightened
anyway. So, Sadhana Charpapte, having caused the shower of food and drink, you eliminate the harm of hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst, no? We have lots of food. Sometimes, you know, if we are late by 2 hours, no, for our dinner, no? Mm-hmm. We get really hungry, mm-hmm. no? So...
Yeah, just thinking it's because I'm planning this camping trip and I have to take food for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday I went shopping and I've never bought so much in the supermarket. It was just amazing. It was so funny. And you get really paranoid thinking, oh, you know, that you need all this stuff, you know? It's crazy. And even though we kind of planned a menu, we still ended up buying about 10 times more than what I was supposed to buy. You know? It's just really crazy. But it's just interesting, isn't it, when you do that? Yeah.
We had a refugee from Narada from Africa, states where there's hardly any food. And they came, apparently went into Coles, which is a huge... huge supermarket. They had no idea what to buy. They didn't know what to do with it.
Doesn't look like food.
No.
It's
not.
Most of it doesn't look like food.
Yeah, it doesn't taste good.
It doesn't taste like food.
But this is curious, isn't it? We've gone to a ridiculous extreme.
So eliminating the harm. No? Our body is funny, isn't it? Itself harms it, no? You know, it's asking for the food, it's asking for drink, no? No, that's how we're conditioned, really. No? And here we go in a nice restaurant, no? List of menus, no? Get confused which one to have, no?
Yeah.
No? So...
I had a visitor some years ago from the States and I was cooking us dinner. And I had this actual cauliflower with all the leaves and everything on my bench. And he said, what's that? It's from New York. And I said, that's a cauliflower. And he said, they don't look like that back home. And I said, what do they look like? And then I cut it open. He said, oh, I see. And he'd only ever had a cauliflower, like bits frozen out of the supermarket. He'd never actually seen where the food came from. And what it looked like out of the garden. He didn't recognize it. That's how far away he is from the idea of food.
So one thing about food that's very helpful is being mindful about the food as a medication. The food as a medication. Yeah? So when one thinks of food as a medication to heal maybe the suffering of hunger and thirst, then one does not develop attachment to it. One does not develop aversion to it. When we eat medication, you know, because we need it for health, we just have it, you know, at the water in the medication. Yeah. So therefore one does not also become very fussy about food, because the food is only for sustenance of the body. No? Now, if we look at food as something, you know, then we have attachment to it. We have aversion, we don't like this food. Take it away, no? But when we can think of food, the food, you know, you should realize or you should have an imagination, the food as a medication. Huh? And then you have the food, you know, without desirous attachment for it. You have it without aversion to it. And also it is not to really fill you up, no, to the point where you go like sleepy. No? And it's just for, you know, for your body, you know, to be able to remain. So Sayadam Kwamgi Charpa, Sayadam Kwamgi Nebasa, no? By causing the shower of food, no? And water, no? May I eliminate the ha, no? That is caused by hunger and thirst. Okay? And then at this time, no? There's a particular time, it's called Muge Kalpa. There is an eon, no? When there is going to be a huge famine in the world. No? So at that time, when there's going to be this huge famine, yeah? At that time, you know, may I become food, may I become drink. Yeah? That's what Bodhisattvas pray for. And they say sometimes, you know, a bridge, you know, can be a manifestation of Bodhisattvas. No? Because of their prayer, no? And powerful prayer, they're able to become, you know, what is required for sentient beings. So Dhani Seda Kum to Kyur. May I become food and may I become water. It's pointless being a Bodhisattva at that time because people need food and water, no? So may I become food, may I become, you know, water. That's the extent of the prayer of Bodhisattvas.
So it's not just poetic imagery.
No.
It's reality.
Yes.
Yes, I thought it was poetic imagery.
No. Because here Bodhisattva is really going down to a state where there's this huge famine going on, and you know people are really interested in looking at each other, you know, they're just constantly looking for food and water, no? So Dhani Seda Komduju, may I become food, and may I become drink. No? So that's a very, very powerful, isn't it? No.
But in reality, you can't really become food and drink.
Oh, who knows?
Who knows? Maybe you can. But you can become rocks and stones.
If we can become enlightenment, if we become Buddha, no? Food is easy to become. Just go in the forest and lie down. No? See, you become easily food, you know?
Black cat.
You know? There's a black cat in the newspaper. Come and, you know, looking for food. So, you know, it can be maybe it if we can't think like, if we can't become potato, for example. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, then. That's okay.
I think potato would be easy. Strawberry would be hard.
So those things, okay, then maybe people would not bother really much in those time, no? All they need would be a food, no? So then you can still be maybe, you know, some form of being, maybe, you know? The Bodhisattvas can become a chicken, you know? Or you know, you can become like an elephant, you know, or a very, very big animal, no? So they can have, no?
The teachings are saying we live in a world where this is possible.
Mm.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
Mm. Okay. So, I mean, it's still, you know, discussable, but the point here Bodhisattva is making is he becomes something that pacifies the suffering. Yeah?
Mm.
No?
But isn't it just pacifying temporary suffering? I mean, you know, it's just pacifying temporary
suffering.
Well,
yes.
Whereas if you were getting something higher, then
yes.
I mean,
yeah, that's true. But temporary suffering is as important as ultimate. Temporary happiness is as important as ultimate happiness is, because if we do not have temporary happiness, we would not have really the leisure, no, to aspire for ultimate happiness, no? So in such a situation where there is things like this going on, no one would be really thinking of enlightenment, really.
Yeah.
No? They would be really looking for food, and that probably is their enlightenment at that time, you know? So they really need the things. And Bodhisattva is here being very particular about the kind of prayers or the kind of thing that he would want to become, you know, to serve sentient beings. Yeah? And this is a very mental sort of...
Did you say not particular?
Sorry, a particular thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like a food, like a drink,
yeah.
No?
Mm.
So, and it's all really and probably you can become, no? But that's really something, you know, even if you can't actually become a potato, no? You can still probably become some form of food and drink, no? In those times of difficulty. No? So it's actually the exercising of the mind to be able to think like that, to be able to wish like that, to be wanting to become like that.
Mm.
No? And that sort of
so the intention
stretches, you know, your power as a practitioner.
Not me, but others.
Hmm?
It's a not me, but others.
Well, it's a bit like the chit practice, isn't it? Yeah. In the chit practice, you become
I was thinking that
food and,
yes.
You know, whatever.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, chö probably is a popular form of maybe Vajrayana practices, but the essence is similar, you know?
Mm.
Sutrayana and Vajrayana, the essence of it is bodhicitta, really.
Mm.
Vajrayana is maybe more skillful, no? Bit faster, no? Bit faster, but Sutrayana, the essence is bodhicitta. Those three principles of the path, really.
Can I just go back? You said that true happiness, enlightenment, seems to rest on a base of temporary, additional
happiness.
Temporary happiness.
Yes, I think temporary happiness is not like not the ultimate goal, but temporary happiness is necessary.
Yes, that's what. Yes.
Because temporary, sometimes you know, interpretation of Buddhism get a bit mixed up with people. People think that a temporary happiness is not good, no?
Mm.
It brings. But if you are very clear in your mind, no? What your objective is, no? Then you rely upon the causes that contribute to attain the ultimate happiness. Yeah? So, for example, when we look into the precious human rebirth, the whole story of precious human rebirth, we are looking at a rebirth, human rebirth, that has temporary happiness. Yeah? You know, a human being, for example, is free from suffering of the hell realm. No, it has got temporary happiness. And then to be born in like a central land, you know, we are looking at a place where Dharma is available. No, and then we are looking at one with all the organs intact. We are looking at temporary happiness, such as our eye consciousness and so on. No, and then we are looking at, you know, someone who has not committed heinous crimes, no? So you are looking at, you know, temporary happiness. If you have a crime, committed a heinous crime, you suffer yourself, like if you kill your father, for example, no? So these are really important to know, that even when we do the Mahakala Puja, no? Do lots of puja, Mahakala Puja, you know? Me and my disciples, or everyone, you know, the supporter, at this time have a long life, you know. Some do kunduk, whatever wishes that we have, may all of them be fulfilled, you know. Maybe able to disseminate the Dharma, no? And then in next life, you know, be born in, you know, Western paradise or in front of Buddha Amitabha and get a chance to hear the Mahayana teaching. So all of these, you know, even being born in maybe, you know, the Buddha realm, you have not become Buddha, you know. You go there so the teaching is available to you, you can access the Mahayana teachings. Because there's this amazing or inspiring teachers around. So this temporary happiness is important to attain the ultimate happiness. But if you are just thinking about temporary happiness and if you have no idea of ultimate happiness, then it becomes an obstacle.
Yeah.
Becomes.
In logic then, is it true to say that without temporary happiness, there can't be suffering, and without suffering, there can't be temporary happiness?
Yeah, suffering and happiness, they are comparative, isn't it? They are related.
You can't have one without the other, I don't think. So you need the temporary happiness because you don't need it, but you can't have it without suffering, and you couldn't have suffering without temporary happiness.
They wouldn't recognize one with the other.
Yeah.
If you were always happy, you wouldn't have a name for it.
Mm.
Like two sides of a door.
And the when you have temporary suffering by virtue of its temporariness, not when you have temporary happiness, by virtue of its temporariness,
yes,
it holds its suffering within it.
Yes. That the temporary happiness is referred to as suffering.
Yes.
From the perspective of very realized master, no? Because it is not ultimate enlightenment, no?
It is impermanent.
Yes.
So to know what it can be like and then not have it.
It's a strange balance, isn't it? Because when the teachings talk about the suffering of samsara, in order to create a sense of renunciation, Jason Carver and others create a terrible picture of samsara and suffering. But on the other hand, there's a sort of a teaching that says, no, one should take a certain amount of joy in the situation as well. So we've got a strange thing going on.
Yes.
One saying, no, that's terrible. And the other hand saying, no, rejoice in being human.
Yes.
In being in this realm.
Yes.
So there's two things going on.
Mm. The thing is the four common foundations. The four common foundations are very necessary, especially if we are doing deity yoga. It's advised that we have the reflection on the four common foundations. The first one is reflecting on the nature of samsara. Yeah? So that one is sitting not to attain some kind of samsaric attainments. Yeah? So that is to induce a sense of sadness of the situation of samsara. So therefore one's practice is not aimed at attaining some form of samsaric situation. Or in the case of wanting to generate compassion, when one reflects on the sad nature of samsara, one is able to develop compassion. Yeah? So that is not to have the first kind of attachment. The first kind of attachment is attachment to samsaric kinds. Yeah? And then you have the second foundation, which is reflecting on the precious human rebirth. No? So that is, not to be depressed by the samsaric situation. No? So you think, oh, I got nothing to do. No, I've got nothing. No, you feel sad and so on. No? But to induce a sense of joyfulness is important. No? Yes. So in order to have a sense of joyfulness, one look at what one has got. No? A sense of contentment. No? Be happy, you have this precious human rebirth. You can even attain enlightenment. No? Even Buddha was like me. No? So therefore there is spark of hope. No? There is an understanding that one is blessed with so many wonderful qualities. Yeah? So one has a sense of joyfulness. Yeah? But then not to get carried away by how good this is. No? No, I got nothing to do and I don't need to do it and everything is fine. No? But then it becomes like the God realm, no? Where everything is fine, Even the teaching is going on. The teaching is there, available. So whatever is created by causes and conditions are impermanent, no? Whatever is contaminated is suffering and so on. Not much attention because everything is fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So therefore, in order to avoid that, then the third foundation is the reflecting on death and impermanence, no? Yes, you have this precious human rebirth, it is wonderful, it is such a good thing, no? But remember, it's impermanent, no? You are going to die. You're born, you're going to die, so you got to do it now, no? And this precious human rebirth that you have, no? You got to make the most of it by doing something that will benefit yourself as well as other sentient beings, no? So therefore, the third foundation is where you have the death and impermanence. What it does is it helps induce a sense of diligence. Yeah? When we don't understand the impermanent nature and the death, we very likely to procrastinate. No? I'll work for maybe till 60 years and then I will, spend the rest of my 30 years into doing practices. No? And, that might not happen because impermanent, young people die much younger than you is dying faster, someone like that. You just go down to the road, you have an accident, we are so conditioned, no? You don't even have to have an accident, You just go and have epileptic seizure in the car, and bump into something, you know. So it's so impermanent. So then looking at even the things that is supposed to give us health, like food, you know, can go wrong, you have suffering. Yeah? Even medicine can have side effect. So supporting. So therefore, you know, the conditioners for dying is more, far more than the condition of living. Even this very body that we have, what it holds up, you know, all of them are so impermanent. Yeah? So when the meditator meditates like that, they just want, it's like their head is caught on fire. They just want to get rid of it as soon as you can, you know. Yeah. So especially if you are coming from a Mahayana background, you know. And if the Theravadins and Shravakas who want to just their own liberation, they can really, you know, meditate, you know, work very hard. And you have promised to benefit all sentient beings, you know. You got to do it very well. So there's inducing a sense of diligence. No, it's called whipping up, no, whipping you, do it now, that kind of thinking. And then even if you want to do it, even if you want to do, but you must meet the precious Dharma. No, there are many serious practitioners who are doing diligently. No, but if you meet, you know, if you meet a path that is maybe mistaken or that is not complete. And you could be doing a lot, but you would not attain your desired objective. No? So therefore, the fourth common foundation is the teaching on the law of cause and effect, the cause and effect teaching. Yeah? So, the Bodhisattvas have this kind of thinking. So, you know, even if it is temporary happiness, no? So it's all about attaining enlightenment to benefit sentient beings. So in that way, the benefit is happening and your path to enlightenment is also happening. It's getting closer and closer. So even if it is temporary happiness, no? It's worth doing it. But one has to have the picture of the ultimate happiness or ultimate goodness. Then I become an inexhaustible treasure for those who are poor and destitute. May I turn into all things they could need, and may these be placed close beside them. Samchen is a sentient being. A Samchen is basically the one with the mind, the one with consciousness. Pongxing is someone who is deprived of things. Someone who is very poor. Samchen Pongxing. The sentient beings who are very poor and who are deprived, no, of things. They are very unhappy, no? Because they are poor. No? When people are poor, they are very unhappy. Really, they think, I'm very poor, I've got nothing, I can't go and study, I can't educate my children. And they're really, really feeling very, very sad and self-low esteem and so on. No? And to such a person, what you need is dana misetel jyote, may I become a reservoir, no, or a treasure. No? They can take as much as they like, no? And still I don't get exhausted. Yeah? Inexhaustible treasure. Yeah? For those beings, yeah, who feel very poor, who are deprived of food, and who basically have the suffering of, you know, the suffering of poor, maybe not having a sense of contentment, maybe they don't have anything to be contented. No? They just have maybe a body, or a life that is full of suffering, no? To such person, no? They do not have the light, they do not have the dharma to transform, maybe haven't met the teacher, but, you know, who are very poor and very sad, you know, to those beings. There are many of them, no? There are many, many, many of them, no? And some people could be very rich, you know, but, you know, very poor, very poor, you know? Could have lots of wealth, lots of food, no? but who have, you know, who have like a people, there are many, you know, many who are very, very sad, they have a big house, live on their own, no? Maybe they have other form of, you know, they have maybe something, you know, you put here for the heartbeat, you know?
Pacemaker,
you know? And on their own, you know, and they had such a good time, you know, their partner. There are some people, you know, who are not able to reflect very well, who just reflect on whatever is going to depress them, you know? That kind of person, you know, and feeling very poor. They probably have many relatives and so on, but somehow they do not maybe receive love or care and so on, who are feeling like that, you know? For them, you know, may I become, you know, a reservoir that is inexhaustible. Yeah? So then they can go and get whatever they want. You know? Just go, take today, go tomorrow also. There's even more, you know, that kind of thing. You know, may I become like that. And yoje kogu nasosu, and not only become a, you know, reservoir that is inexhaustible, but a reservoir that has all kind of things that they need, you know? If they want a computer, they can get one, you know? If they want an iPod, they can get an iPod, you know? If they want a nice cooking pot, they can have, you know? If they want to go and have a taka, you know? Push taka, they can go and get a push taka, yeah? So whatever they want, you know? May I become like that. That's just about the imagination, you know? It's the imagination of a bodhisattva. Yeah. Just if they want a thangka, you know, okay, they can have a thangka. If they want a thangka of Chenrezi, go and get a thangka of Chenrezi. Yeah? If they want a watch, they can have a watch. If they want a nice cloth, warm cloth, they go and have it. You know? The food, whatever you just think, you know, and that kind of thing, you know. And also, just thinking about it, you know, may it be there. No, if they have, you know, some power, if I have this one thing that's come in front, that kind of thinking, that kind of prayer, yeah? And this prayer can be our prayer. It's not, you know, just in a book. We can bring it, no, in our heart, in our meditation, we can bring it, and we can just feel the prayer, no.
Sometimes, Lama, this sort of attitude and prayer strikes me, because sometimes you think a person wants, they want something so silly, so
yeah,
lacking in taste, and you think, well, you couldn't really want that.
Mm.
But this teaching saying it's their wants, not,
yes,
what you, not your, what you prescribe for them.
Yes.
You satisfy their wants, no matter how tasteless.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, and those
high-heeled
boots.
Yes, exactly. Whatever it might be, you know?
And they feel loved by that.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly.
They do, because
perhaps, but then they might just, novelty will wear off after
a while. No doubt it will, but they've had a little bit of, they have a memory that.
Yeah, but they will want something else.
Else.
And it's already there because
yes,
it can provide anything and it's inexhaustible.
That's
see,
right.
You can't compete with bodhisattvas. They are very good. They've already programmed, you know.
Yeah. I guess bodhisattvas are not here to dictate taste.
Yeah. But I think it's more about in a situation of, you know, situation of difficulty.
Maybe, look at all the iPods around and the computers, and maybe the bodhisattvas are continuously giving out all these things, but, you know, look, what's happened, it hasn't changed anything, has it?
Yeah.
You can buy, you know, you can, the bodhisattvas are continually sort of selling them on eBay and...
are you suggesting they should get together and have a rethink of that?
Well, I reckon they, maybe they should.
Yes.
Well, that wouldn't give you much because you don't want one.
So this environment of, all these computers, all this junk everywhere now.
Mm.
Bodhisattvas should stop.
Well, what they've given you is this beautiful
because that's what you appreciate. You see?
Yeah, yeah. All the good teachings you can get on a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Access to lots of teachers.
Yeah. 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 Lava. Oh, and education in places where this is done.
I think the laptop is the foundation of spiritual practice.
It's
not the...
See,
it's
I see.
It's yeah. Just turn it on for your glow of enlightenment.
Download enlightenment.
That's right. I suppose I just have trouble with it because it's our world is so consumeristic, you know, and it's like no one can ever satisfy anyone materially in the West, I think, you know, because it's...
But it's the attitude of not judging what they want.
This is like a kid. It's like giving toys, and then you give them more toys, and before you know it, there's just they don't see what they've got. You know, they can't play with anything.
Yeah. It's not really like that. It's only giving a gift at one particular time to make that person's heart open up and feel warm, and your own too. But it wouldn't. You wouldn't go on and be ridiculous. Because they wouldn't even appreciate it. Then so why give it to them? That's not going to help them.
Yeah.
You don't want to... It's different, isn't it?
Yoji kogu. So things that they need, you know? Like a house, they need to live, no? Like clothes, Like buildings, Like food, And maybe other things, really. But it's more about maybe more about things, you know, that are at least, you know, that are like basic things, And they can, I guess they can have those things, you know? But it's just in the prayer it says, Yoje kugu na tso su duna nyewa ne jurchi. Yoje kugu, whatever their need is, no? And in different things that they might need, And may I be, you know, whatever they need, may I be there.
I suppose when you think of it, when this was written, and now we're looking at now, like in the 21st century, when we've got so much stuff. I mean, it's just such a huge...
Yes.
Would have been, you know...
Yes.
I mean, probably people were really
Certainly, stopping. Certainly. Now, this whole text does not necessarily, all of it, you know, has to fit in accordance with the kind of world we are living in, you know. Some of, maybe majority of it fits very well, maybe some of things like that, if there is something like that, you know, does not have to be relevant, you know. If it is not relevant, you know, don't take it, If you find it helpful, just take it, So then there's things like that. And basically, I think it's training the mind to be able to, you know, to be able to have an ever readiness, you know, to provide. You know?
What was that word? Ever readiness.
Oh, ever
readiness.
Nen
lu dang de xin long jue de, de sum ge wa tam je, sum je kun ge tuan ge, pang ba me ba tang wa xia. And it says, without any sense of loss, I shall give up my body and enjoyments, as well as all my virtues of the three times, for the sake of benefiting all. Lu tang is one's own bed, body, and teshin, in a similar way, long ju is one's own possessions. And lu tang teshin long ju tang tusum gewe mobunam, and the merits of past, present, and future. Pangba meba, without any sense of, you know, feeling miser about it. Huh? Without any sense of, oh, I've lost this.
Amazing to give up. Now I'm having trouble vaccine.
Pangba meba,
give up my body and enjoyment as well as my virtues of the three times. That's a big ask, isn't it?
We always say that. We're always saying that in our group.
Give up your virtues. Dedicate your merit.
Not give up trying.
Oh no, I was thinking of a different way of virtue.
See,
they're talking about merit. Okay.
Without any sense of loss, no. Usually, maybe, you know, if we give it, No? Maybe we have a sense of losing. Yeah? So without any sense of loss, you know, I shall give away, maybe give it to them, no? My body and enjoyment. So I think it's I shall, no? So we are also in the third chapter, no? So third chapter is really a prayer, no? The actual bodhicitta probably has not yet maybe awakened. Yeah? So when you embrace the bodhicitta, no? When you embrace the bodhicitta, when you awaken bodhicitta through ritual or whichever way, and then you become bodhisattva, and then you train mindfully and so on. And then you get to your maybe state, first bhumi, second bhumi, and so on. Yeah? So we hear about, you know, Buddhas in their past life giving their body to sentient beings when they needed it. Yeah?
Chapter 3 is the commitment to awaken bodhicitta.
Yes. Yes.
Not yet.
Yeah, or Chanjubi Sami Yongsu Sungwa, it's like that, yeah. Yongsu Sungwa is sort of completely sort of, you know, embracing true bodhicitta. So at this stage we are really talking about here, may I be able to do this, may I be able to do this, you know, I shall, you know, give up my body or enjoyments. I think it's really basically meaning, you know, not have attachment to one's body. If it is needed, you know, in order to benefit other sentient beings, I'll be able to give it. No? And enjoyments also usually probably whatever we, you know, indulge in or something that we have, maybe a possession or a thing, you know, I'll be able to give it to them without any sense of lose. As well as all my virtues of the three times. Yeah? As well as all my virtues of the three times, it feels like, oh, you're giving away all your virtues, you know. But not really.
No, they don't mean going to be non-virtuous.
No. They want to. Really they want virtuous. To give it away.
Yes.
But that very dedication itself is a big thing. Yeah. Then to get attached to your virtue of past, present, and future, no? For the sake of benefiting all.
It's to forgo your own enlightenment.
To benefit sentient beings.
But it's not really because
paradoxical.
Yeah, because by letting it go, of course you're not holding on to anything, so you're actually...
But being willing to do so.
Willing to.
It's just not thinking of yourself at all, just to say that person who's drowning or something can tap into the water.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. But that is in long term, to some given way, but not. Same thing, So, same thing, kungi, tungi, for the sake of all sentient beings. So, pamba meba, without any sense of loss, you know, I shall give it to them. Yeah? So, sanjay kungi tungi. Thamje tangwe, by giving up all, sorrow is transcended. And my mind will realize the sorrowless state. It is best that I now give everything to all beings in the same way as I shall at death. Thamje tangwe nyangen da. Thamje tangwe nyangen da. Thamje is everything, you know, whatever you have, your body, your merit, and so on. When you are able to do that, then you nyangen da. You will be able to go beyond sorrow. Yeah? It's only when we hold on to it, so we tend to suffer. Yeah? So, and especially with the right motivation. You know? And if you give, you know, if you are to give like that, then you attain a state of enlightenment. Yeah? And not only that, but it will make my own mind, you know, to be in a state of enlightenment. Since I have to give it all anyway, you know, because when I die, I have to give away. I better, you know, give it now. No, and dedicate it for all sentient beings. No, when I die, things are not going to come with me. No, so now when I have them, no, it's better that I give it away to all sentient beings. Having given this body up for the pleasure of all living beings, by killing, abusing, and beating it, may they always do as they please.
So it's really like a mandala, isn't it, practice? Like in a way, you know, like the Chuk mandala practice.
Mm.
Kusali Sog or something like that. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're transforming everything, your whole body into, you know, your eyes become the, I can't remember, the center of the, you know, the mountain. Or I don't know, like it's everything in your body just being... You're transforming it for all
sentient beings. Kusali, so probably is also a method of accumulating merit.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm.
So these also are ways of accumulating merit. Mm. No? So, tamjetangwe nyangenda. Tamjetangwe, if you give away everything, nyangenda is you attain nirvana. Tamjetangwe nyangenda. Dalo nyangenda batu. And it will make my own mind also enlightened. Tamje tongwar chapjik la, you know, since I have to give them all, you know, at the time of death. Sanje nam na tangwa cho, it is better that I give it away to sentient beings.
But it's strange, isn't it, to talk about killing, abusing, beating
Because
that's actually
making
bad karma for those people.
Mm.
Jest and blame.
It is basically here. Dagi lujen tamjela lude chida chinsengi. Yeah, this body, you know, I have given to sentient beings. Yeah, dagi lujen tamjela to all sentient beings. Lude chida chinsengi. I have given it by now. So probably he's really getting into high level of prayer, you know.
Yes, yeah? That would be in the kind
of mind. In the chida chinsengi, yeah. Tao dusu dan meba am desu, you know. So it does not necessarily, probably sometimes, you know, it's not good for sentient beings to, you know, allow them or encourage them to beat you,
no?
Or encourage them to kill you. No?
But if
sentient beings are going to do it, you know, it's not saying you come on and kill me, no?
Mm-hmm.
If sentient beings, when they feel that if they are going to kill me, you know, if they are going to do some doubt, even if they are to sort of verbally abuse, you know, say, oh, you are like a monkey or tiger or whatever, you know, and even if they are to punch, you know, all right, you know. So often what happens is usually when they do, we hold on, we punch back, we fight back.
Yeah.
Yeah? So I guess it's to be looked at as a preventative measure, no? But they are not necessarily going to come and kill you. No? If they are to do it, no? So then...
You can't have unconditional giving by putting conditions on what they should do with it.
It's not really encouraging sentient beings to do it.
But it's the unconditional giving is the important part.
Mm.
What people do with your gifts.
But you've got to also prevent them from not...
Yeah, but this isn't none of your business.
Yes, we're supposed to help them and look after them.
No.
I think like in the situation, we have the example of where the prince, Prince Mahasattva gave away his body to hungry tigress.
Yeah.
Because the hungry tigress was going to eat the cubs because she was so hungry. And Prince Mahasattva actually lied down and encouraged her to eat him.
Yeah.
So then she can be alive and also, you know, the food can be given to the cub. No?
Yeah.
But this is we are talking about when you have realized emptiness directly. No?
Yeah.
You have realized emptiness directly and you would not have that thing, no?
Yes.
And by maybe, you know, because you do not have attachment to your body at such level, so therefore maybe there is not necessarily, you know, the animal is eating you and it is totally for, you know, serving the hungry tigress.
Mm.
And it's not like us, you know, who have lots of this thing and, you know, forcing ourselves in, no? So therefore, maybe that act is actually, instead of causing the tigress, you know, to accumulate a negative karma, probably the tigress is going to, you know, have a positive karma out of it because it is enabling a bodhisattva to practice, maybe perfection of generosity. Mm. And these five, this one, the tiger and the cubs, you know, cubs were actually the five disciples. Mm.
Mm.
They all become the five disciples of the Buddha. That's according to the sutra. Yeah. Mm. So therefore, you know, he felt very compassionate, and you know, one could argue that, one could say like, you know, why he is a bodhisattva, you know, he should remain, you know, and he should remain, and he should not have allowed the, and it's just a mouthful of food, you know, it's just a moment of hunger, you know, to pacify that.
Mm.
But bodhisattvas probably are in, you know, like a direct realization of emptiness, and it's sort of voluntarily offering oneself, you know, out of great compassion, you know.
Quite, and yet they really know that they don't have any inherent existence, so...
It parallels that other story, and I don't know who it was, where they... The dog was dying, and there was wounds were full of slug. What do you call it?
Yes.
It was the totality of being willing to lick the wound, to take the maggots that caused the transformation.
Yes.
It wasn't like a conditional thing.
Mm.
It was the total giving.
Yes,
this too was talking about total giving.
Yes. Mm. And that story that the dog turned out to be.
So you no longer regard it as me or mine. It's a bit like, like a tree or a rock.
Yes.
Therefore, it's like a skillful means to help
it
us.
It does not have grasping or any sense of truly existence of the gift, the giver, and the recipient.
And it could be letting other people reach or whatever.
Yes.
It could be just a skillful means also of leading them into the Dharma.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, like Jesus died on the cross. Yes. He had to do whatever they wanted to do.
Oh, yeah. That was the ultimate, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he'd run away from it. He knew it was going to happen
beforehand.
Yeah. The Buddha, you know, when he died, he ate poisoned food.
But also, I think we have to be very careful, because the words are very limited, and especially the words that are translated, you know. And then from the original context, you know, even in the root text in Tibetan, you know, it's not, there has to be a commentary, you know, so according to the commentary on the text, you know, then we study, then otherwise the word itself is very limited, so sometimes especially by killing, abusing and beating it, may they always do as they please, you know, it can sound, you know.
See, I think it would... I wonder if there's any more recent translations.
No, there are a few, but there's one translation from Padmakara, and I bought one because coming here I went through it.
What does it say?
Because
this is very old, this translation.
13. Yeah. Let them kill and beat and slander it. And do whatever they desire.
Mm.
And that's...
But,
in the last 10 years, I think. 97.
That's the same.
Who publishes that? Shambhala.
So these ones
translated under the guidance of Jigme Gyatso Rinpoche.
So here, the bottom line is making the mind become so pure, so that it can cup the bodhicitta, so that it can have the bodhicitta in it. Yeah? So probably a training of a mind to become maybe not attached, and that that maybe intensity of letting go of attachment is manifested with these kind of words out there?
Lama, the emptiness of the receiver, you know, the three spheres of emptiness, of the giver, the gift, and the receiver. The emptiness of the receiver, in a sense, means we don't know what their karma is. We give without knowing what the effect's going to be. So you can't have in your mind that I'm going to do this so that that will happen, and something else will happen.
I think emptiness of giver, gift and recipient is a very tricky thing. Here what it means is the giving is happening, yes, and the giving is coming from a perspective of compassion, a great compassion. And on top of that, one has the wisdom that realizes the selflessness or the empty of inherent existence. Yeah? So in that way, giving is happening, you know, out of compassion, giving is happening. Yet at the same time, you know, one is not in a mental state where one is saying, yes, this is truly existing and I'm giving you. Yeah? So at the same time, it's not negating that it is totally empty, no? Because there has to be a giver, and there has to be a gift, and there has to be a recipient. So this giver and a gift and recipient is at a conventional level, yeah? And the emptiness of it is talking about ultimate reality. So there is a giver, there is a gift, there is a recipient, yeah? But the giver is not inherently existing. The giver is dependent on causes and conditions. The gift is also coming out of interdependent origination. And the recipient is also interdependent origination. Yeah? So therefore, the interdependent origination idea in conventional term, and then ultimate reality is it's empty of inherent existence. Yeah? So it's not like it's totally blank or empty. No? Here, emptiness is being able to see that there is a thing, yeah? But it's not totally black or it's totally empty, no? Because one has to have that. So, and all this practice of giving and so on is happening in a conventional world or interdependent world, yeah? But at the same time, the giver has this understanding. What the understanding is, it's basically not trapping the giver to hold on to what they are doing. Yeah? So therefore there is a giver and a gift and a recipient. Yeah? It's not like, if there is no giver, no gift and recipient, then there can't be a practice of generosity. Generosity is there because there is a giver, recipient and a gift. Yeah? But perfection of generosity is when the giver, no? From the perspective of the giver, no? There is no attachment, yeah? No anger, no ignorance about the three things. Just have the wisdom. Yes. See as they are. No?
And no expectation of the result.
Yeah, no expectation.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. No expectation.
So you don't see the gift or the recipient as having those qualities too?
Which quality? No.
No attachment.
Oh, no. No, recipient. No, recipient. You see that... Really, it is a very, very deep. Yeah? But what I think, what I understand, is that the recipient might not have at all, no, an understanding of emptiness. The recipient might even know that it is everything is interdependent origination.
Might or might not.
Might not.
Might not.
No, I'm thinking of the point of view of the giver.
The giver has this wisdom.
But he knows that the other two don't.
It don't have, yes, like inherent existence.
Yes, he would know that,
yes. It has to be.
That's right.
Because the perfection of wisdom is the quality of the mental state.
Yeah.
Perfection of wisdom is not making the whole world free of poverty. Would they have perfected perfection of wisdom? We still have lots of poverty in here.
Mm-hmm.
So perfection of wisdom is when it is happening in the realization level. Is it time for lunch?
Yeah. 1 o'clock.
Okay. We have lunch break? Okay. Yeah. Oh. Precious is the Buddha, Dhamma, Passable Teacher. Precious is the Dhamma, Dhamma, Passable Teacher. Precious is the Sangha, Dhamma, Passable Guide. To the Triple Gem, the object of my refuge, I made this offering. With sincere devotion, I offer this carefully prepared food, which pleases the mind with the 100 tastes. To the victorious ones and their successors, may all living beings be sustained by the abundant food of meditation. Om. Mm-hmm.